Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 18. "What time is it?" asked Kyle. "It's 2 o'clock," said Rhino, flexing his hands, still sore from wrestling through the removal and reinstallation of the full set of magnets in the rotor on the lathe. "Is that a.m. or p.m.?" asked Kyle, chuckling. "We miss lunch. Again," said Rhino. "Well, at least we have it back together. I want to run the next experiment. I mean, look at it this way. We're halfway through the experiment design. This one has only 2 levels, and we can do them without taking it apart. I thought about starting with this setup, but then it would have just been a guess as to which way to go," said Kyle, pulling his hands through his hair that had been growing now since they left California. "What are we learning here?" asked Rhino. "Well, we know what doesn't work, or at least we know it takes more work to get the energy than we get back. That's not going to get it. We're going to be lights out down here if we don't connect with that energy spike," said Kyle, taking his glasses off and cleaning them again on his shirt tail. "Okay. 4th and 2. I get it. What's the play?" asked Rhino, rolling his shoulders. "How are my favorite mad scientists?" asked Bet, pushing her way into the lab and holding her arms open to hug Rhino. "Oh, here comes trouble," said Rhino, grabbing her up and hugging her hard. "Easy, boy, I'm not a halfback," said Bet, grunting inside his arms. "No, bony like a receiver, I'd say," said Rhino, putting her down easily on the floor. "Hey, Rhino, how are you doing?" said Smith, coming to the lab door. "Oh, you are the man, Agent Smith. You look good," said Rhino, shaking his hand firmly. "Yeah, well, I'm going in for number 4 in a few days. I'll have a bionic collarbone after this one," said Smith. "Hey, I have 2 bionic knees, said Rhino, letting his hand go. "Smith, man, am I glad to see you, and Bet too," said Kyle, grabbing a quick hug from Bet and extending his hand toward him. "Good to see you too. I'm hearing good things about your work here, so we thought we'd stop by," said Smith. "I wish I had something better to report," said Kyle, plopping down on one of the stools by the wooden countertop. "I always go to the range to clear my head," said Smith. "I like to street race," said Kyle, looking into the concrete floor. "I'm a Harley girl. 2-wheeled meditation, said Bet, putting her hand on Smith's shoulder. "So let's see what you got," said Smith. "This rotor over here is loaded with a larger scale of my gas lens. I use it to align nitrous oxide molecules to increase combustion, any kind of combustion. So when we were in Tennessee hunting for nukes, the nitrous system was empty. It wasn't even supposed to be on. But I got these 2 frequencies on my detector that were not supposed to be there," said Kyle, standing up and walking over to the rotor mounted on the lathe. "You have a lathe under that purple Challenger?" asked Bet. "That's just it. Without putting in any work at all, these peaks came roaring through." "Ha! Like a bootleg radio station," said Bet. "Huh?" asked Rhino. "There are a few in the Santa Monica area. They have like 20 watts of power, and they play old albums. Just people in the local neighborhood can pick it up, on a frequency that no one uses. You know what I'm talking about," said Bet, thinking that Kyle wasn't getting it. "No, I get it. The source. Maybe the source isn't broadcasting. Maybe we're not in the neighborhood," said Kyle, rubbing his face and beginning to pace shortly. "Easy there, bud," said Smith with a more relaxed tone. No, I got it. I'm cool. Moses has to go to the mountain. You know what I mean?" asked Kyle. "I don't think that's a good idea, Kyle," said Smith in his official tone. "There has to be a way, Mike, or we're going to be dropped into the dark down here," said Bet, moving toward the rotor on the lathe. "How can we get that lathe outside and wire it up?" asked Smith. "We don't need the lathe. I was just using that to turn it. It's what we know how to do, but it's supposed to work without it," said Kyle. "How much does your rotor weigh?" asked Bet. "It's about 200 pounds, but that's not the problem," said Rhino. "I'm listening," said Bet. "We'll have to crate it up. If it gets close to something with iron in it, Somebody's going to get hurt, said Kyle. It's like a very strong mouse trap, said Rhino, showing off a bruise on his left forearm where the magnet pinched the mounting tool with his arm against the frame. Damn, son, said Bet, wincing. They're small, but they can stick 1,000 pounds on you in a second, said Rhino, flexing his arms. Okay, what do you need from the boss? Asked Smith. I need a crate, a dolly, and a way to the surface, preferably to the top of the mountain, said Kyle, looking back and forth between them. And all this stuff goes to? Asked Smith, sweeping his right hand over the various cases and cables stretched along the floor of the lab. Everything except the lathe. Oh, and we need a load, said Kyle. A load of what? Asked Smith. No, a load. We need something to connect to, like a breaker panel or something. We need something to consume the energy we focus onto the conductors. The zero-point energy is theoretically infinite, but nobody has any evidence to suggest that infinite amounts of zero-point energy are available for use in this dimension, or that it violates the laws of conservation of energy, said Kyle. What happens if we don't have a load for the energy? Asked Bet, sensing Kyle's tone wasn't revealing everything. I'm not sure. That much energy with nowhere to go? I really don't know. I'm not really sure how to use it. I mean, if it's something other than electrons, we could have problems, said Kyle, rocking back and forth slightly from one foot to the other. Like what kind of problems, Kyle? Asked Bet. The only thing we really know about this stuff is from the standard model, said Rhino. Come on, Rhino. A model of what? Asked Bet. It's a matrix, developed after 1970. It's a theory concerning all the known forces in the universe, except for gravity, as well as classifying all the subatomic particles known. There are 6 quarks, 6 leptons, and then 4 bosons, and out there by itself is the Higgs boson, said Rhino. Oh, you forgot one thing, said Kyle. Oh, yeah, the 5th force in the universe. Consciousness, said Rhino sheepishly. You mean the mind? Asked Bet. Not totally. It goes back to the formation of the universe, the something that started it all. After 40 years of splattering protons apart at CERN, they cataloged every possible frequency that makes up a single proton. But for all that, they couldn't make one, not even one proton. So they realized there was another force that caused them all to be. The argument ensued, and it was admitted that consciousness is the source of quantum gravity, and not the other way around, said Kyle. We're plugging into the consciousness battery of the universe, said Rhino. Yeah, well, it could add a term to the standard model. I mean, finally, said Kyle. What if that doesn't happen? Asked Bet, curious now at the depth of speculation to which these two had plunged. Theoretically, everything except the 3 neutrinos in the model will work. I mean, the conductor should get excited, the electrons will jump quantum shells, and we should get a photon of energy we're used to seeing when it drops back down, said Kyle, trying to use the easiest language he could. I'll check with the facilities team. There has to be a connection to the surface somewhere, said Smith, trying to add some muscle to the conversation. So now what do we do? Asked Rhino. You guys take a break and go get something to eat. Get some rest. This could take all night, said Smith. You'd a man, Smith. I could eat a bear, shit fur and all, said Rhino, clapping his hands together. I will go with him to Bailey's. You go talk to Riker. And meet us there later, offered Bet. Sounds like a plan. I'll see you guys later. Let's make this happen, said Smith, walking swiftly out of the lab through the airlock. I'm going with you guys. Can we swing by and get Donna and Lisa? Does that sound like a plan? Asked Bet, offering her arms like the wings of a mother hen to walk out of the lab. What do you say, bro? You ready for some Earth time? Asked Rhino. I'm down with that. I wonder what Dick and Katie are doing, said Kyle, like he was getting off a long roller coaster ride. I heard good things. She's up and around, but the doctor is keeping her calm while some artery heals up a little more, said Bet. That is crazy good news. Maybe we could go by the hospital after we get the girls, asked Kyle. Let's play it by ear. Come on, said Bet, opening the airlock door. They each filed out, took off their smocks and paper shoes, and walked out of the lab. The soldier at the bottom floor informed them that although it had been nearly 3 weeks since the beetle drone had killed Orphan, there was still a risk. They had done multiple sweeps of the area and turned up no signs that there might be another one. The outer door guard and the guards by the carts were still on duty, but they were cautious as the four went down the elevator and headed to the married housing floors to pick up Donna and Lisa. The cart and the group were quiet during the ride. I'll run up and grab Lisa, said Rhino, hopping out of the cart. I'll bring Donna. We'll meet back here in 5? Asked Kyle. You bet. I'll hang out here so no one gets this cart. Go on, you guys. You don't mind, sir, if I ask you to stay here and transport us 5 to Building A? Bet asked the soldier driving the cart. It all pays the same, said the soldier. How long you been down here? She asked. It's been a year, ma'am, said the soldier, scanning the upper ceiling area for signs of a beetle drone. Where are you from? She asked. I was from Miami, he said. Jesus, your family? Began Bet awkwardly. Far as I know, they went to Kentucky. At least that is what I want to think. We have family there, he said, finally looking at her. There were announcements, right? I mean, they would have known. My gut tells me they were going to get out of this alive, said Bet. Alive or dead, it's about duty, ma'am, said the soldier, shrugging one shoulder. I hear you. I have it on good authority. You're going to be fine. I have a good feeling about your family, too. Hang in there, okay? Said Bet. Here come your friends, said the soldier as he slipped into the driver's seat. Okay, team, let's go get some grits in our guts, said Bet, clapping her hands. That's the best part of this town. It has the best cafeteria ever, said Donna. I'm Pavlovian, said Kyle, squeezing next to Donna and interlocking his fingers with hers. Building A, my man, said Bet, putting her feet on the dash of the cart. Kind of makes me miss my Volvo, said Lisa. We'll beat the rush, I think, said Rhino. I'll make sure to go in behind you, said Bet over her shoulder. That's what every quarterback does, said Rhino. Oh, thank you very much, said Bet. They arrived at Building A and walked as a group up to the double glass doors in front of the lobby. The large elevator carried all of them to the cafeteria floor, and they walked together down to Bailey's staff kitchen. The small tables inside the kitchen were cozy with dried flower arrangements in the center, and the LED lights were slightly muted to the normal kitchen brightness, making an inviting atmosphere. There was an aroma of something roasting and baking in the ovens. Hello, my friends. It's so amazing to see you again, said Chef Bailey as he walked around the corner from his office. He slipped his chef's hat on and extended his hand to Rhino and the others one by one. I'm just hypnotized by your cooking, said Donna. Well, I intend to spoil, said the chef with a broad smile. I don't care what it is. It smells amazing, said Bet. Well, you can help me set the table. The plates are over there, and the silverware is in those steel baskets over there, pointed the chef with one hand while he peeked into the ovens with the others. No problem. Here you go, Lisa. Deal them in, said Bet, handing a stack of 5 plates to her. What you are about to taste is my rendition of blackened chicken over a seashell pasta with my special blend of cheeses and spices. There is a clash of peppery spice with a sharp cheese and cream sauce that I think you'll really like, said the chef as he covered a third of each plate with a large serving spoon. He pinched some oregano, quickly dusting the tops of the dish, and added a few broccoli tops to the plate. Bon appetit, said the chef. Oh, wow! I've never tasted anything so good, said Lisa. Way better than dorm food, huh? Asked Rhino. I could have eaten anything, but now I may never eat again, said Donna. I know, right? Said Kyle. That's what a chef likes to hear. For the next few minutes, I have 100% of your attention, and that's good enough for me," said the chef, placing the stainless steel pot back on the counter with the lid. "Food is the best thing about the planet," said Rhino. "Oh, I see," said Lisa. "Okay, be fair. There is more than one best thing," said Rhino, making sure to swallow first. "Who says you should eat dessert first?" asked Bet. "That's what Katie says," added Donna between bites. "Oh, hey, we should go by and see Katie after dinner," said Kyle. "We should be mellow enough after this. We could do that," said Bet. "Like we need your permission, Mom," said Rhino, laughing. "I haven't seen Dick in like 3 weeks. I need a fix," said Kyle. "I'm just saying, I can tell you that they will leave the hospital when they're sure Katie is ready. 2 by 2 is better than all of us going at once. That's my opinion," said Bet. "Hey, I'm not selfish. Why don't you and Donna go? You can tell her we're praying for her, right?" said Lisa. "I'm cool with that. We need to wait for Smith's report before we do any more with the design of experiment anyway," said Rhino. "There is a good movie playing at 7, said Lisa. "There, that's a good idea. You guys take a break. I'll go talk to Smith. Kyle and Donna, go see Katie. That's a plan," said Bet. "Okay, that's way too perfect to actually work," said Kyle, smiling. "Now you sound like Loretta. Always enough time for something to go wrong," said Bet, trying to sound like the professor. "I will go to the lab tomorrow and get things ready for a road trip," said Kyle. "I'll be there," said Rhino. "I'll let you know what Smith says about getting your science project up to the surface," said Bet. "Okay, no more shop talk. That was the most amazing dish I've ever eaten," said Donna. "Just because we live in a hole in the ground doesn't mean we can't have a good meal now and then," said Chef Bailey. "Well, I know there is such a place as heaven if I look up and see that hat," said Bet, smiling at the chef. "Do you think there'll be food in heaven?" asked the chef, wiping the powdered sugar off his hands on a clean towel. "It would be a pretty cruel trick if there wasn't," said Lisa. "Yeah, what she said," chimed in Rhino. "And good music. Don't forget that," said Kyle, pushing his empty plate away to make room for the dessert being prepared by Chef Bailey. "There are so many things that we do that are wonderful. You, like, make magic machines, and you have dreamed the way planets are made. I just play with flour and some sugar," said the chef. "Oh, no, don't even go there, chef. You can put the most love into a pie tin I have ever seen," said Bet, shaking her finger at the chef. "Best edible chemistry in the world," said Kyle. "You're such a cute dweeb," said Donna, reaching over to hold Kyle's hand resting on the table. Kyle pushed his glasses back up on his nose and looked at her. He closed his eyelids to cover half his eyes. He put his other hand on top of hers. "I was ready to return to the stars. I'm so glad I found you." "I was right next door, my king. Let's get this world home," said Donna, lowering her head to look at him under her eyebrows. "Are we ready for some dessert?" asked the chef, softly standing next to the table with 2 small white plates, with a sugared pastry in the center, with a freehand pattern of caramel and chocolate drawn across the plate. "It's low calorie, right?" asked Bet. "I'll take your calories right over here," said Rhino. "That's okay. It's a small plate," said Bet. You know what they say about small packages," said the chef, gathering up the dinner plates and setting the dessert plate in front of them. "Okay, that's it. My life is complete," said Lisa around the flaky pastry she had pulled off the fork with her teeth. "That's what I know," said Kyle. "You know, we do this again 11 tonight," said the chef, trailing the statement like a question. "I'm going to be sleeping off this sweet stupor, I am sure," said Bet. "You want to take one of these to Smith to go?" asked the chef. "There might be handling charges," said Bet. "Well, the way to a man's heart," started the chef. I think we're doing good with the heart thing. It's the stomach section I'm struggling with, said Bet, rubbing her belly. Yeah, never trust a skinny chef, they say, said Kyle. I've heard that a few times, but I managed to keep this lovely girlish figure, said the chef, turning sideways to the laughing group. Rock on, chef. That was phenomenal. Too small, but phenomenal, said Kyle. That's part of the play, my boy. The final act should leave you wanting more, not hoping you never see it again, said the chef. I'm starting with dessert next time, said Donna. Good girl, said the chef, pointing at her and smiling broadly. Let's go, crew. Please, call me later and let me know how Katie is doing, said Bet, pushing her chair back and looking at Kyle. No worries, said Kyle. Thanks, Bet. I needed this, said Donna. You still want to go catch that movie? Asked Rhino to Lisa. There's nothing I would rather do, said Lisa, smiling at him. Okay, my friends. I am glad you like the food. Y'all come back, said the chef. Bye, chef, said Bet, giving him a hug. The group walked together to the elevator and took it down to the lobby. Bet, Rhino, and Lisa walked out of the glass doors onto the entry pad and parted ways for the evening. Kyle and Donna stayed in the elevator and pushed the button for the infirmary. They held each other close in the large elevator in silence and watched the digital numbers change. The doors opened and they walked side by side toward the nurse's station. Hey, can we visit Dick and Katie? Asked Kyle. I think they're up. He just walked down the hall, said the male nurse. Thanks, said Kyle as they walked down the hall to Katie's room. The door was open and light spilled out onto the floor of the epoxy-coated floor of the hallway. Kyle reached for Donna's hand as they walked through the door. Hey, brother, I am so glad to see you, said Dick, hopping up from the recliner and grabbing Kyle's hand to shake it. He raised up his other arm and wrapped it around Kyle's neck and put his face next to his ear. I missed you, he said into Kyle's ear. I missed you, too. Been working in the lab. I wanted to come by every day, but, began Kyle. Don't pack that around, bro. I'm always with you, said Dick. I was worried about Katie, and I, said Kyle, with his voice getting weak and squeezing Donna's hand. Don't worry about that. We'll be out of here in a few days, and then you'll be wishing I would go away, said Dick, smiling without taking his eye off Kyle's face. How are you doing, Katie? Asked Donna finally. Well, I can check getting shot off my bucket list, said Katie, smiling. Seriously? Asked Donna, smiling at Katie. We're going topside with the experiment, said Kyle. When? Asked Dick. Smith's trying to work it out. I think these granite walls are shielding it from the source, said Kyle. Sounds reasonable, said Dick. I wish you were going to be there, said Kyle. Fresh air? Sounds like a good prescription for a gunshot wound, said Dick, smiling at Katie. Oh, you know what my answer is, said Katie. Looks like I have a drag race with the Colonel Doctor, said Dick. He's in for it now, said Kyle. He's a good man, actually. We're so lucky he was here, said Kyle. For sure, said Dick, putting his hand on her shoulder. I'll call you as soon as I know something, said Kyle. We'll be here, said Dick. I think the rotor would just fit in the trunk of the Grape Ape, said Kyle. I hope you don't mind riding in the back seat, said Dick, smiling down at Katie. Actually, we might do better taking the big SUV. Rhino and Lisa will come as well, said Kyle. It's a picnic, but do me a favor, began Katie. Name it, said Dick. Let's go out the front door this time, said Katie, laughing. With air support, said Kyle, joining in and finally relaxing. Speaking of air support, have you been listening to Shelley's broadcasts lately? Asked Donna. Katie looked up at Dick, who was looking down at her with his jaw set. She looked at Donna with her blue eyes steady. What about them? She asked. I miss my mom, said Donna. Are you afraid? Asked Katie. No, said Donna slowly as she put her hand around Kyle's upper arm. I'm not very churchy. But I have never felt more at peace than I do right now, said Dick.
Me too. Listen, I wish I could tell you more. But I think it's going to be okay, said Katie, putting her hand over Dick's still resting on her shoulder.
You mean we're not going to die? Asked Donna.
That's not what she's saying, said Kyle.
I'm just a little scared, I guess, said Donna, with a tear rolling out of her right eye.
Oh, baby, we never die. We're bound together forever. And remember what Shelley said? If we can hear her voice, we're in the right place.
You're in the right place, said Kyle.
Way to go, little brother. The student has become the master, said Dick.
I don't know about that. I just know I better get that gizmo working, and we're all going to be needing red and white walking sticks down here, said Kyle.
Well, let's sleep on it. Check in with me tomorrow, and let's get Chef Bailey to pack us a lunch, said Dick.
Rhino will love that, said Kyle.
Cool rippin' beans. We'll catch you tomorrow, bro, said Dick, releasing Katie's hand and reaching again for Kyle's to shake it.
Mañana, bro, said Kyle, shaking his hand with both thumbs up.
Donna walked up to Katie and kissed her on the cheek.
See you tomorrow, she said.
See you later, guys, said Katie.